LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Bobby Newt of BobbyNewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forest Hill, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Miss Aida of MissAida.com in Detroit, Michigan, bringing us today's topic on caregivers and hoodoo. Afterwards, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Cat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Cat?
Oh, well, I'm here. We're having a little bit of minor technical issues, and Kat will be joining us in just a moment.
Thanks.
Oh,
you can't
hear
me?
Fuck. We can hear her, yes, Kat. Hello, Kat?
What?
Oh, there we go. I think we can hear her.
Am I now here?
You are here, but you're slightly echoey.
Now we're hearing echoes because I have to go through two phones to get here. So this is a bit from our old Mercury retrograde show. hang on just a moment and let me get myself out of that. Can you hear me?
Whoa. We can. You're very faint.
Okay. I'm going to try one more time. I got another phone. Hold on a second. Okay.
It sounds like you've come to us.
I've come back to you. Okay, great. Now this phone has to go away. All right. I'm on a cell phone now. Jeez McGee's. That means the sound quality will not be as good, but at least I'm here. All righty. So, this was the postscript to last week's Mercury retrograde show.
Ah, yes. Well, we're demonstrating its effect is what we're
in the chat room, I just have to say, in the chat room, Nishka said, the retrogrades are always most intense during the beginning and at the end, and that is true. And we're just
very
coming
much so.
Out. This one, and boy, is it a mess. So I have no idea what the sound quality is. I apologize, but apparently my landline is not working. It's making a bizarre humming noise, and no one can hear me. So I'm on a cell phone, the very thing I constantly tell all of the radio hosts on the Lucky Mojo Network, never be on a cell phone, but I had to today. All right. Welcome, everybody.
The good news is we can hear you. So
good.
It's all good.
Good. All right. Well, if you can, and Nishka said you sound pretty good, Miss Cat. Okay. I'm telling you, though, you all sound like tinny things coming out of my cell phone speaker, but that's life. But this is an old Apple iPhone 4, okay? That's where we're at. Okay. I want to first of all say hi to my co-host, Conjurman Ali. Thank you for being here. How are things
Always
in your part of the world?
things are great, keeping busy as usual, enjoying the work that I'm doing, the clients that I'm taking on. A fantastic January so far has been a fantastic start to 2016. And, you know, I've been receiving exactly the type of work that I'd like to see from people at the beginning of the year, people trying to plan out what they want to see, planning for success and victory and improvement of life and changing things for the better, and having some great, great readings. You know, it's rare when you are able to say, you spent a month giving out nothing but good reading. You mean it's nothing but mostly very positive readings. Not a lot of people that I have to say, oh, look, you know, you're in this one of those intractable situations. No, he's not coming back. No, she's not coming back. No, this was an abusive relationship. No, that was a bad job. But instead, it's been very positive of, yes, you can change things for the better. Going back to school, yes, it's a very good thing. Yes, I see this court case working out in your favor. So lots of very positive readings and positive work. So it's been a great month so far.
Well, good. Good. I've been doing a lot of reading. I've been doing a lot of getting ready for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival.
Yes.
Working on flyers. I just had a meeting today with Ms. Robin, who's going to be doing a workshop on amulets and charms. And we were putting together the contents of the goodie bags. Now, the Hoodoo Heritage Festival is known as a hands-on presentation festival. This is not where you just go to hear people lecture. You get goodie bags, and people call them swag bags. We have a lot. And we're assembling what's going to go into the amulets and charms goodie bag. And I'm telling you, you're going to get a lot, and it's going to be interesting stuff. And we have a lot of plans around that, and she's working on her flyer. So that's good news. And the weather has broken again. Right now it's sunny, but they say it's going to rain again. So we'll see. But we're enjoying the rain. I want to send out greetings to all of our East Coast people with the snowstorms all around their head. I've been enjoying their little pictures they send me. And Nishka in the chat room had a question, and I'm going to just say thank you to the guys in the chat room. You know, anyone can listen to this show by archive anytime. But when we have a nice group of people in the chat room, those are usually, you know, kind of our regulars, I guess you could say, and they always bring up interesting things. And Nishka asked, what kind of accommodations are close by? So there are hotels and motels in the area. We even have a web page that gives the names of them and the price ranges. So it'll you can find that just by looking around Lucky Mojo and asking. You can go to the forum, and there's a whole section on the subject of the festivals, and you can look at that and click around, and it'll tell you the link to go to get to the lodging. Oh, Papa Newt. Dang, Papa Newt. You're so good, Papa Newt. Papa Newt just posted it. LuckyMojo.com. MojoCatLodging.html, all one word, all lowercase, all run together. Man, Papa Newt, you know, he says, I worked on that page. I remember it. Yeah. So if you guys don't join us in the chat room, you're missing all the stuff that flies by. Thank you, Papa Newt. So, okay, so that's what's happening here. We're working our little butts off. We have some, oh, my gosh. I smell like a combination of fantastic love oils and petroleum products. It's the craziest smell. Usually when I come in, I tell you all what I've been making. I've been making Return to Me. I've been making Attraction. I smell great. And then I had to take a sticker off of something, and I had to use that Goof Off or Goop Off stuff, you know? And now I smell like a combination between a gas station and love. but what I was taking the group off of was a new collection. And those of you who know me and my collections. When Nagashiva and I have our annual wedding festival, which we do for ourselves on January 1st, we go out and we have a good time and we stay overnight away from the property. We go out to hot springs and get mud baths and massages. And I woke up one morning and I thought, vintage bride and groom wedding cake toppers. Now, I already had a collection of vintage bride and groom wedding cake toppers. I mean, you know, everybody has a collection of those, right? I mean, I had a number of them. But I realized I didn't have one for every year we had been married. And so I now have a good start on it. We've been married 16 years. I have a glass cabinet. It had a sticker on it, a price sticker, and that's why the gas station love. So, yeah, now I got the sticker off, and I am collecting vintage bride and groom wedding cake toppers. You know, when I die, there's going to be quite an auction of this stuff. It's going to be a lot.
Well, hopefully a museum built.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Smithsonian is going to want my collection of vintage wedding cake toppers. I'm going to tell you something, though. They're pretty nice. They're pretty nice. Of course, I had to go and buy a vintage silk flowers to repair the ones that were busted, you know. So now I've got a collection of vintage silk flowers to repair vintage wedding cake toppers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Such it is. All right. Well, today we have an actual topic, and I don't want to wax too prolix about our wonderful guest, but our guest today is the lovely Miss Saida. So let's bring her right on. Miss Saida, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi, there you are.
I'm just wondering right now, what's going through my mind is next week every gas station manager and attendant will be chasing after you. That's what's going through my mind.
Gas station love. Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Well, I should bottle it, man. It's a strange smell. It's got like all the appeal and allure of diesel. And all the superosa, you know, it's like this good stuff. So, Miss Saida, let me tell folks about you, people who've not heard the show before. There's always someone who this is the first show for. Miss Saida is out of the Detroit area in Michigan, a fantastic worker of curses, but she's also a healer and a helper. Miss Saida works with animals and has taught us about working with her beautiful German Shepherd dogs. And to do spells for the healing of other animals and also spells for the healing of people and for wildlife. Truly, if you want someone who's a very versatile worker, go to readersandrootworkers.org and you will see on the left Miss Saida's name and click on it. See her picture, and but today she's bringing us the subject caregivers in hoodoo. So this is a topic that has a couple of different byways that it can go down through. One of them is people talk about doing hoodoo to ease those who are sick and even those who are dying. How do you do hoodoo in a hospital where flames are forbidden? How do you you know, sneak a mojo bag into somebody's bed if there's a caretaker remaking the beds all the time? How do you help caretakers? See, caretakers also need assistance and help. How do you make them into a better caretaker? So these are the kind of different angles that this is going to take. So I'm going to turn this over to Miss Saida, let her start us off, and then we'll come in and chime in with some of our ideas. Take it away, Saida.
Okay. I'm also a registered nurse, for those who didn't know. And someone on the forum had asked if we could give some advice on how to help caregivers. And I came up with something, and I thought it was just based on personal experiences of taking care of patients in hospitals, although I was, you know, basically an emergency nurse, but you know, I gave care to my husband who was dying of cancer and also to my mother. You know, they both were under my care in my home, not together at different times. But there seems to be an ongoing theme, whether it's in the hospital or not. And If you're psychically in tune, you're obviously going to see that when people are ill, they are not only physically immunosuppressed, you know, meaning that their body is more susceptible to infections and more diseases, but they're also spiritually suppressed, you know, especially if they're lonely or alone. And it happens for many reasons. There's negativity. They attract negativity, and that's because they're depressed, they're unhappy, they're scared, they're angry for being ill, they are weak, they're lonely, they're resentful of their caregivers because they are not ill. And all this negativity around them summons malevolent spirits, bad spirits, and these spirits actually prey on the ill because of their weaknesses. And the negative energies are like magnets that give rise and accumulate more negativity. Usually, and we all know this, every one of us knows this, we walk into a room of a lonely, ill person, we can feel the bad energies in and around the patient. This is in contrast to an ill patient who has many visitors, love and happiness around them. And as we know, love and happiness, you know, makes these bad spirits go away because there's nothing to feed on. The room of a spiritually suppressed person is comparable to a war zone of bad energies, fighting everybody and everything that could possibly bring comfort and her happiness. And the bad spirits will cause things to happen. As a nurse and as a caregiver at home, I've seen bad things happen, like medical equipment won't work, communications are impaired, attempts to help the patient will result in failure. You're fighting spirits. When a family member or caregiver walks into a room with this war zone, what happens? They immediately feel the negative energies and feel sick. Some won't even return because of the bad feelings. They go, oh, this makes me sick. This results in the patient feeling even lonelier and gives rise to more negativity. There are also patients who attack the caregivers, either physically or emotionally. They just happen to know the caregiver's weaknesses. That's because they become in tune to those spirits, and the spirits are telling them what to say. And they react as in a retaliation for being healthy. And why do they do this? So that the caregivers become negative also. Remember, this negativity feeds the bad spirits as a spiritual food for them to make them stronger. The patients also become more demanding to wear out the caregiver. If the caregiver is worn out, they become weak and angry. And guess what? This also feeds those spirits. So it's imperative that caregivers understand that this is not the patient talking and acting and reacting, but instead it's bad spirits talking through them, making them behave physically through them. Although easier said than done, we try to become immune to the insults and try to meet the demands with joy and happiness. And this is where we need to talk about protection of the patient and the caregiver, which is imperative. And deterrent measures must be enforced at all times.
Wow.
That's what I've got to say about this.
Wow. You know, this is an amazing thing, because I've had people tell me, for instance, you know, so-and-so is in the hospital. Let's go see him. I'll say, because I don't drive. I need a ride. I don't do hospitals. This may be someone's best friend, right? I don't do hospitals. And that makes the person in the hospital feel so lonely. And they become, as you said, demanding of their caregivers, who are paid professional caregivers, because their own family won't come and see them. There's also something, I've seen it, and I know you've seen it a lot, but I've only seen it one time. My mother had to have heart surgery, and she was in the ICU. And it was, you know, there was a six-bed ICU area for these heart patients. And one man got what they called ICU psychosis. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
this was a perfectly nice man. He was about a 65-year-old Armenian grocer from Fresno, California, the nicest man in the world. He went insane. He was cursing. Mm-hmm. He was screaming. He was throwing things. He was out of his mind. I thought they should have taken him to a mental hospital. His poor wife was crying. His daughters were crying. Everybody was like, my God, Dad's lost his mind. They just gave him a heart bypass, and we don't have Dad anymore because we've got this insane guy. Well, 3 days later,
right.
he was totally normal. But ICU psychosis is real, and it takes a very strong caregiver to watch that happen. It did not happen to my mother, but I watched it happen to this nice man, and afterwards, he had no memory of it. He didn't even know he had done that. And,
wow.
And he was cursing. He was using language not only in Armenian but in English that his wife didn't, I mean, he was calling his wife dreadful names. And but, you know, he come to and he was like, oh, yeah, I'm a grocer. I'm from Fresno. Oh, yeah, I had a heart bypass. He was totally nervous afterwards. So ICU psychosis is real. And this is basically the evil spirits that, you know, the sad, sick, depressive spirits that hang around the sick room. And they
mm-hmm.
they give this to people. Now the scientists will tell you, oh yeah, because of artificial light, or it was a drug reaction to the painkiller
mm-hmm.
drugs, or blah blah blah. But there's more to it than that. There is a spiritual component to it. So that's what I have to say.
There is.
You know, I want to add too. You know, speaking of ICU, you know, when I was also in the Air Force, and you know, I dated a lot of men that went to survival school. I even dated a POW, an ex-POW. And I'm giving away my age. I don't want to give it away, but Vietnam POWs. And they tell me about the torture chambers. And I never thought, you know, in ICU, what are you hearing? Beep, 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 oomp, oomp. I mean, you're hearing all these noises that are mentally
right.
torturing you. I never even thought about that.
Yeah,
that's how
that man reacted. I'm sorry, Ollie, go ahead.
You know, I need to say, and yourself bring up a very important point here, and I think it goes to an extent, the nature of health as we view it today, right? There's a big shift between the kind of bedside manner and caregiving that was given at one point. Now, obviously, science has improved and medicine has gotten better, and we're able to deal with a lot of things. But one thing that's kind of been lost in the process of health is the nature of the caregiver, right? So doctors aren't necessarily always caregivers in the way that we used to define that term. And the hospital isn't. The hospital is cold. It's a place that is supposed to be sanitized, that is not welcoming entirely. And as a result of being a place where sick people gather and where people also pass away and die, this bizarre kind of transient, you know, intermediary place. You don't stay there long, but you either get better and leave or you don't get better. It draws a certain type of energy to it. And Callie and Mojo mentioned this quite accurately in the chat room, that a lot of spiritually sensitive people can't actually even go into hospitals, that they can't take it, and for the right reason. And so this is something to bear in mind whenever we do any type of root work for caregivers or root work for healing, is that we need to look at healing in a different way. So when we light candles from our house or say prayers for, you know, to find the right doctor and all that, that's fantastic. That's great. But the next step should be to help protect people who are sensitive, to ensure that we retain the dignity of humanity, right, which is also quite assault at a hospital to a certain extent. I remember taking a grandparent for an extended stay at the hospital, and he mentioned, he's like, there is no rest here. They wake you up every few hours to take your blood. Every few hours, the second you doze off, someone comes in and they need something from you, and you feel like a piece of meat. And
yeah.
That's something to bear in mind, that you want to, if you're working for someone healing, you're working for caregivers, to remember that it's not just about physically getting that person better. Oh, we want that surgery to go well. Oh, we want, you know, that treatment to go well. That's important. But the next step should always be, how do you ensure that you retain their humanity? How do you ensure that you heal them spiritually? How do you ensure that you protect them from the kind of cold, sad, intrusive forces that are around them? And how do you ensure that it doesn't become a perpetuating cycle, right? That the doctor doesn't start seeing just numbers, but sees individuals, right? And that
Amen.
The patient in turn doesn't see the doctor as this kind of destructive force that's coming into his life to disrupt his or her life, but as a helper, So it's very important to see healing in a very different light because of the way we deal with healing in modern society.
Yeah. I'd like to take this to some practical levels. And I want to thank Madam Samantha in the chat room who said, keep a Bible open in the sick room to Psalms 91, 10 through 12, or Psalms 121, and lay a pair of open scissors on top of the psalm. Well, that is in a home sick room. You cannot in a hospital put open scissors out, of course. That would not be approved. It was also mentioned to use Fear Not to Walk Over Evil. Put that in your shoes, powder your feet with it, and you'll be fine. I'm going to give a couple of other ideas that have come to my mind. One is Angelica Root. It's very useful for good spirits. Another one is Althea. And Althea Root or Althea Leaf is used to have good spirits around you. Now, when you are in a hospital, it's going to be very hard to be doing anything with those other than making a little smell bag and have the patient smell it. But because you cannot be putting bags in their stuff, they will have a container where they're allowed to have their belongings, and you can put it in there if you want. But it's, you know, things are very regimented in a hospital. At home, of course, you can do whatever you like. And at home, you would want to use something like, for instance, healing bath crystals to do the laundry of the bedding is a good one. And also if you're Catholic, any saint that you might like to work with, like the Dr. Jose Gregorio Hernandez or St. Luke, Jose Gregorio Hernandez is to help the doctors help your patient. St. Luke is for doctors in general and for physicians in general. And St. Jude is for cases despaired of. And of course, people also will pray who are Catholic to St. Joseph for a merciful death. A death without pain. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the Catholic ways of working. Of course, there are many other ways that people work, but those are some of the things that I work with myself or tell people to do. How about you guys? What practical things do you do?
Me? Are you talking to me? Oh,
yeah,
I just wanted to add another saint also to your list, and that would be, a lot of times patients will become possessed. They will actually become possessed. I mean, the negativity is just so unbearable, right? Mm-hmm. And they just start talking to themselves, acting really weird, and then you'll start seeing weird things happen. You know, there's a lot of verbiage all the time with medical people and home caregivers. Oh, you'll never believe, this was really weird, and this person said this, and they're possessed. Okay, when they're reaching that point, you know, we've got to seriously consider St. Michael. You know, we definitely have to.
Also, St. Dimphna.
Very much so.
St. Dimphna is the one who deals with mental illness, and she was, and the place where she was martyred, a hospital was built, which was noted for having very good results with those who were ill in general, but also mentally ill. Also, for surgery, if we're going to go down this, Saints Cosmos and Damien. They were the first people who did a what would now be called a transplant. And they did a leg transplant, and it happened to be the leg of a person who had died who was an African, and they grafted this leg onto a European guy. And so you see this paintings of them with this guy with a black leg. People would, when I was young, they'd say, oh, it meant they had gangrene. No, they did a transplant. And even though this was in the days before immunosuppressives, supposedly, this thing worked. And Saints Cosmos and Damien were twins. Very interesting saints. And so they are used for that. And I'm going to give you another one that I know who are for who's for quick surgeries. When I was young, I was taught this by a Catholic friend of mine, and that this is referred to as baby's first novena. Now, a novena spell, you all know, is a 9-day spell. You go to the Catholic Church. If usually you would do this in the church. And nowadays, mm-hmm. everyone wants to do everything at home. But I'm talking about a novena where you go to the church and you light a candle every day for 9 days. And so baby's first novena, and there used to be little booklets on this, was to pray to the infant of Prague. And this was known as the miraculous nine-hour novena. And the idea was that you would take the child to the church for one day, for 9 hours. You'd go back and you'd say, now we're going to do this. And the novena was done in one day, in 9 hours. And when I was young, this was told to me that the infant of Prague, because of this being baby's first novena or the miraculous novena of 9 hours, that it was used for surgery patients. And when my mother was in the hospital, for instance, in the gift room of the hospital, they had all of these infant of Prague statues. And so I asked, what are these for? Well, these are... They were purchased. The believing Catholic family would purchase this. They would pray over it. The person would be prepped for surgery. They would pray with that infant of Prague statue. It would be with them in the waiting room. When the person came out of surgery, it was put into their room. And when they came out of the anesthesia, the first thing they saw was their infant of Prague statue. And that would be a nine-hour novena. So that's something that I learned a long time ago, and a lot of people love to work with the infant of Prague for that particular purpose, but only for surgery.
The sneaky tricks are also a really great thing to use in a situation like this. One, because you can't always take with you mojo bags, powders, oils, in particular in hospitals, right, which don't always have carpet. Where the patients are. So what I often do is when you come to the hospital, when you visit someone, it's not just the hospital, you can do this at other places as well, senior living centers and whatnot, is you buy a little teddy bear and you make a small incision in the teddy bear in the seams, and you put in there a mojo bag. You can put in there a mojo bag with Althea leaves and angelica root and other healing, life everlasting, other healing herbs into that mojo bag. You anoint it, put a little bit of powders in it, and then you put it into the teddy bear and you sew it up and you have them hold it. And I've seen it that they will become very attracted to that teddy bear and they'll smell it and they'll hold it and they'll... And that's great. That's exactly what you want to do. It's both a form of physical comfort, which is very important. It brightens up a room. Also, you just put in some spiritual forces in that. You can do the same thing with a plant. It's customary to bring some type of plant with you, roses or flowers just come. But you can also bring a plant if a person's going to be there for a little bit. And you can bury something in that potted plant, water it, and then... And you come in, and once a day, you yourself should water, right, as you're visiting them. And it's a great way of bringing power and healing into the room, not just for that person, but for the entire room as well. Alternatively, I also suggest making friends with the people who are there. People are often so tired, so exhausted, because they work these long shift, crazy hours that are very much out of whack with the natural rhythm of the world and the natural rhythm of our lives. They're tired, they're exhausted, they have to deal with very demanding patients. Make some friends with them. Cook, you know, bake some brownies or some cookies that you've prayed over the sugar or the various ingredients, and bring them in and give them to the nurse's station or the desk and say, you know, this is from me, thank you for taking care of my friend or my family member in room so-and-so. And that will help. They'll give a little bit more attention to that person. It'll brighten their day up. It'll sweeten them towards you. And it will change because you want this very healing relationship. You can also, if you're not good at baking, you can also bring a little gift. Bring them a potted plant. Bring them a small teddy bear and say thank you for helping out my family member. And this is a great way of bringing them over gently and sweetly to being the healers that you need them to be.
Right. Those are great. In the chat room, California Sister asked, are there any fresh plants or flowers recommended to be brought in? No, you just get a bouquet du jour, but you can get Life Everlasting. It's a it's a flower that has a bract instead of a petal, and they come in yellow, and sometimes people will dye them, and they're used to piece out an arrangement. And Life Everlasting is used to make a tea that you drink for to prolong your life. But if you put a little bit of Life Everlasting in that, that is a plant that doesn't, it's a dried, naturally dried plant. And that has a meaning, Life Everlasting. So yeah, all of these ideas are very, very useful. Another thing I would say for the caregivers, Contra Manali is so right. They really do need a little treat for themselves, something to sweeten them, and also offer sometimes of help. They have a job to do, but sometimes if you can come in and help do that job a little bit, boy, does it help. I mean, it really does. And also, I'm going to just say this has nothing to do with hoodoo, but listen to the caregivers when they show you how to lift the patient. They may have a different way of lifting the patient that you never saw before. Learn from the caregiver. You're going to learn something very useful. And engage them in conversation. Don't just ignore them. They will teach you things like how to rub the feet or how to, hold someone by the elbow. There's different little tricks. And if you're going to be caring for someone at home after surgery, you want the caregivers to teach you all their tricks. Just saying that.
I just added in the chat really quickly. Anointing your hands and massaging a patient is very good. Some caregivers have actually taken to massaging. For example, some people are experimenting with this in senior living centers and with older patients because touch is such a healing thing. Nurses give very light, like head scratches or shoulder massages, not a full body sensual massage, but light touches, massaging and relaxing muscles. Some nurses are doing this. Is something that you yourself can do. You can offer to give that patient a foot rub, right? And you anoint some healing oil right under your hand. Put some on there, and you massage as you pray quietly. It's a very good thing of both touching them with the product.
That's going to have to wind it up for now. One more thing: put in some holy water in the water bottles. But that's it. you're listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Workout, and we're going to come back and do some reading for people. And after an announcement from Papa Newt. And I do not hear Papa Newt.
Oh, no, there we go. Oh, so sorry. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Workout with your hosts, Captain Ironwood and Contraman Ali, and this week's special guest, Miss Aida, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners and answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, I'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling from area code 267. This is Teresa. Tahira. I'm so sorry. Are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the show. And I see that you're calling back to follow up. You called. You've been on the show back in September 2015. And let me see here. And you write, just wanted to follow up on some of my last calls and see what's ahead for the rest of the year. I'll turn it back over to you, Ms. Kat.
Well, I'll tell you the thing, Tahira, that kind of a question is not going to go real far with us because we have a very in crew here. And they may not have been the same people who were here when you called last time. So we're going to just ignore the follow-up unless you can quickly tell us what you're following up on. What would it be you're following up on?
Oh, don't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to follow up on school and my love life and just see what was going to happen with those two things in particular. So that's what
okay.
I wanted to know.
So we read, when did we read for you before?
The first time, I believe, was May, and then the last time was in the fall.
So we've read for you twice before. And may I ask, what is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm a Cancer.
A Cancer. All righty. And so we're going to just do a little bit of a year prediction for you and see what's going on in your future, in love, and you said also career. Was that what it was?
No, school.
School. All right. And what are you studying in school?
I'm studying English.
English. All right. I'll cut my cards and see what I have here. Number one, number two, and number three. Okay. Number one shows the potential for love this year. It's a card called the Two of Cups. It shows two people, a man and a woman, as the card shows it, facing one another, and they are offering each other golden goblets. And behind them is the symbol for Mercury, and above Mercury is a red lion with wings, just a head, excuse me, a red lion with wings. And the woman is dressed rather quietly in white and pale blue, and she has on red shoes, and she has a laurel leaf crown. What year are you in school?
I'm a senior right now. I just have a few more classes, and then I'll be finished.
So you will be graduating. Good. See, because she's got on the laurel leaf crown of graduation. Before there were mortar boards, there were laurel leaf crowns. So that's good. So that shows that after the graduation, the love time comes. And there's a potential partner. This card is not a card of marriage. It's just a card of dating, hanging out, going steady, getting engaged. We call it the betrothal, but not yet the marriage. But it's a very good card for love potential. The potential partner has a crown of roses. It's a handsome young man in this card. Like I said, it could be anyone of your choice. And this is a potential for something quite good, as long as you have good communication with them. And there's even a potential for some good sexuality, because the red lion does stand for sexuality. The second card is the High Priestess. A very good card, a card of wisdom, and a card of multiculturalism. She's a lady who sits between two pillars, and she bears upon her emblems of four major religions of the Middle East, Egyptian, Christian, Jewish, and Muslim symbols. And so she stands for a person who is somewhat at the crossroads of all religion or friendly to all. And she is a person who is quite mystical in a way. And she's dressed in a garment of water. So this is a good card for you. It tells me that you will do well to, if you have time, to do some work with water. Go see water, be around water, bathe. And in other words, even literally go to see some fancy, beautiful waterfalls or lakes or the sea, because it's a card that represents that. Among those who are Afro-Cuban, Santeria, this woman would be related to Yemaya. But in among Jews, she's called the Queen of Sheba. Everybody has a name for her that's a little different. But she's an exotic woman who is associated with large bodies of water. She also has pomegranates behind her, which stands for children and family. The third card is another queen, and this is actually your card. It's the Queen of Cups, and which is, I asked you, what is your sign? And you said Cancer. So this is your card as a woman who reads the future. The Queen of Cups is also down by the water, by the ocean, also dressed again in white and blue. In fact, all three of these women, the Two of Cups lady, the High Priestess, mm-hmm. and the Queen of Cups, are all dressed in white shaded with blue or blue shaded with white. And that's an interesting thing. Two of them, the Two of Cups and the Queen of Cups have red accents. One has red shoes, the other has a red lining to her cloak and a red gem that holds her cloak together. And the red stands for passion, so she kind of keeps it hidden, but she's very passionate. The Queen of Cups is looking to a closed cup, and she is certainly seeing the future. She has some psychic talent or some ability. She can read people's minds. It's a very mystical card. And these three women say to me that you have this is going to be a very good year for you for inner work. I don't see, these are not money cards, but I do see the potential for travel if you go by water or down to the water. And I see certainly the ability to deal with people also perhaps long distance through a mystical or in some days we call it electronic means. Also, because the High Priestess has these emblems of different religions, I would say that any work you do, you might want to consider dealing with people of slightly different culture than you. I think that would be a good thing for you for this year. And that's about what I see. It's actually a very gentle reading. It does not announce any, you know, any major big changes, like no death cards, no, you know your house is going to burn down cards. It really is a card of slow, steady development of your inner strengths and talents, and also dealing with your own emotions, because water always represents emotion. And if it is for love that we look, you might have some good playtime with the Two of Cups, but I don't see a marriage this year, okay? So that's my reading on this. Let me turn this over to Miss Aida.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, I can hear you.
Okay, great, because I keep muting and unmuting, so I'm not sure if I'm in or out. Okay. I lay out 21 cards, so my reading's a little bit longer. And I'm seeing in the past that you had some sort of a relationship that you're not quite letting go of, and there might be some resentment or maybe some hurt, a little bit of hurt. You need to let go of that, okay? They're showing that you're somewhat avoiding things. Now, there is a man around you now that mm-hmm. cares about you, and you're not paying attention. You don't, I mean, the person's right in front of your face. I'm not saying this is like a future spouse or whatever, but I'm seeing love around you, and I'm seeing that you're not paying attention, and I'm seeing it twice, so this is obvious. Also, the bottom of my cards are telling me again that there's something that you're not seeing, so this is obviously a man. You've got your mind on some sort of a trip. I'm not sure if there's someone far away that you're going to meet or have met, but you've been thinking about seeing somebody from far away, or it will happen. I'm going to go back and forth from school and romance, okay? And I'm seeing that in your last semesters here, I'm seeing that you're overwhelmed with school. You're absolutely overwhelmed. So they're saying, you know, just concentrate on this, concentrate on the school, because you really are overwhelmed. Sometimes you're feeling like, why am I doing all of this? I mean, sometimes you're just completely overwhelmed. Now, in the house of obstacles, I'm not seeing any obstacles, which is really good, okay? They're showing, you know, you're working hard, you'll be working hard, and things will be coming to you. Wonderful things will be coming to you. Now, in the future, what I'm seeing is that there is going to be a marriage proposal, all righty? But you're going to struggle with this, and I'm just giving you your future reading. This has not happened yet, okay? You're going to struggle with this because there is going to be a huge money issue with whomever this is, okay? If you really got to work really, really hard and struggle the way that I'm seeing it to make financial ends meet with this guy, you know, maybe you ought to reconsider, okay? Then in the long term, I do see you being victorious in what you want, but I'm seeing a move. This will happen with a move. Once you make this move, you're going to be victorious in everything that you see, that you encounter. And that's what I've got.
Well, basically we both have very nice readings, sort of smooth sailing, a little bit of we agree in that there's something about water coming up this year. So pay attention to that. Journey to water, journey over water. Maybe something long distance might work out. Certainly something multicultural. And there is potential for love, but not marriage. Now, I'm going to turn this over to Conjurman Ali. My sense of this is that, you know, what you're looking for here in a checkup is going to be some very simple strengthening work to get you, you know, out of the nest of the school and fledged into the rest of your life. So let me turn this over to Ali.
Thank you, Kat. I actually have a couple of questions. Because you are slightly familiar, and I wish you could place a little bit of context from your previous calls in the chat. And so I wanted to clarify. If I remember correctly, last time we spoke to you, you were having difficulties in school, which Ms. Aida picked up on. You are now about to graduate. So things have improved, is that correct?
Yes, it has. I just decided to go back because what I was trying to do wasn't the best option. So
Right. You decided against the other schools and just focused on your studies. Okay. Now, your goal is, if I'm not mistaken, to become a writer. Is that right? Is that still what you're looking to do?
Writer, editor, I'm hoping to just move, hopefully, from where I'm at right now and have some type of a career, because where I'm at right now isn't really working out. I got one article published, but that was about it.
Okay. As a person who's in the humanities, I can say job prospects for humanities are very difficult right now, but not impossible. So what I'm going to recommend is some simple work to just bring in the good. Both Ms. Kat and Ms. Aida have seen positive things coming your way, good things coming your way. What we need to do is to make sure that they come to you quickly, that they come to you smoothly, and all that is meant to be yours, the blessings, the relationship that may come, the jobs that are coming your way, the ability to move, all of it comes your way. So what I like to do in this case is a three-part kind of working. Very simple. One is bathing. We saw a lot of water coming. So I would recommend doing some bathing work, something to kind of clear things out and to bring in the positive. I would recommend making a bath out of basil, putting in a little bit of bay leaves in there, and also including just a little bit of rue to remove any type of obstacles or crosses or anything that might be in the way, jinxes or hexes. Not that there are any, but it's always good to include rue. I include rue in most of my clients. So you're going to brew this into a tea, and you're going to bathe in this, wash from head to foot, allow yourself to air dry, and dispose of the used bath water, just gathering a little bit of it in a cup or bowl at a crossroads away from your home. And you're going to do this for 3 days. Then what I want you to do is I want you to get a white candle. You are going to dress this with attraction oil, and you're going to light this candle and pray. All the good that is meant to be in my life, love, money, career, success, come to me and come to me quickly. By light of this candle, you are going to make yourself a mojo bag. In this mojo bag, I want you to put in a prayer to bring you success, to bring you wealth, to bring you happiness, to bring you love, to bring you all that you desire. You're going to place that petition into the mojo bag along with Angelica and Queen Elizabeth. Both of these are powerful female helpers, and they're very much associated with the cards that Miss Kat pulled. You're going to put bay leaves in there for success, five-finger grass that you are successful with all five of your fingers, and especially since you are a writer, you might consider putting a little bit of deer's tongue as well. Those two go hand in hand. You're going to put a small lodestone grit, not a big lodestone, not a small lodestone, a lodestone grit. These are little ones. You can buy them from Lucky Mojo, and you have a bunch of them in little bags. You can add magnetic sand, pray into the bag, close it up, knot it 3 times, and anoint it with Crown of Success oil. carry that wherever you go so that every step you take leads you one step closer to your success, to your victory, and to achieving all that you desire. Let the candle burn all the way down and bury any of the residual wax at your front door. Nothing overly intense, nothing in depth. This is what you need. It's just to attune things spiritually, to bring in the right spiritual helpers, to make sure everything is right where it needs to be so that you can be successful. And that's really all I recommend in a situation like this. I want to see if Miss Kat or Miss Aida has anything further to add or any tweaks they'd like to make.
No, that sounds really good. I mean, that's just the exact kind of thing that I would say, given what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing I might add to that would be a coin to put into the bag, because she is going to be embarking on her career now. And so I would just add a coin. What about you, Aida? Do you have anything else to add?
I'm thinking that she, you know, based on what I saw with the school, you know, that I think she needs a little bit of crucible of courage, you know, when dealing with school. That's what I'd like to see also, to give her that that extra energy and oomph.
Okay. All right. That makes sense, too. Going back to what it is to become a writer and an editor, I would also like to see a little bit of powders used to dust paperwork. Even if everything is submitted electronically, it is customary to proofread your work still to this day. And I don't know if you do this, but I find that I proofread better if I'm proofreading a paper copy. Something about the angle at which I hold it and having a pen in my hand makes me better at markups. Does that make sense to you?
That does make sense.
Yeah. Ms. Kett's absolutely right. Almost every editor that I know still prints out and reads it. Now, there's a few that don't. It's simply, there's something about the computer screen that we don't edit as well. So she's absolutely right.
This isn't me being old or old-fashioned.
No, you're absolutely right.
It's a physical thing. And the pixels, you know, no matter how good your screen, pixels are small, and you can just see things as you're used to scanning and reading them on paper. So the papers that you mark up, your markup papers that you're going to be writing and your markup copies, I'd like you to dust those. And what we would want to dust them with would be something that you want to have, like Look Me Over, to get people to read them. Even if you submit them electronically, you're going to dust the papers with Look Me Over. And Crown of Success is another one that would be very good for that. Okay? Any other ideas anyone has?
Just going to throw out that after you dust them, you can use that physical copy as a master copy and burn your candles on them. Carefully, of course. But burn your candles on them before you send out anything electronically. It works. It's a fantastic way of working.
Right. Okay. Set lights on them, maybe underneath a piece of tempered glass.
Yep.
All right. Good luck to you. So, y'all listening to the Lucky Mojo through the Root Work Hour. And we're going to be doing one more reading after we have this announcement. Our guest today is Miss Aida. And this is me, or this cat, and my co-host, Contraband Ollie.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Reworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandreworkers.org. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next caller. Our client is calling in from area code 337 in Louisiana. This is Stan. Stan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome. And briefly, I'm so sorry, have you gone to any other readers and reworkers on this particular situation?
No.
Thank you.
For part of the situation,
I've sent a reading, but it was more general.
Okay. And Stan writes, I've had a very unsuccessful love and magic life. Could I get some insight into my situation? I'm also interested in readings and consultations on this. Turn it back to you, Ms. Jess.
All right. Okay, so when you say you've had an unsuccessful love and magic life, let me ask, are those connected, or are you just bringing up two areas of life where it's not working for you?
These are two separate areas.
Okay, two separate areas. Now, what sign of the zodiac are you?
Virgo.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Say again.
Virgo.
Virgo. Okay.
Virgo.
And
yeah.
Virgos, I will just note, Virgos have difficulty often with the love life, not because mm-hmm. they're unloving people, but because the sign, the Virgin, is one who holds back a bit from love. And so people who are born under that sign sometimes have a slow start to their love life. I'm just going to say that. So now I'd like to know, about how old are you?
33.
All righty. Let me put this into Ali's camp. Ali's going to do it. It's interesting because in the chat room, for those of you following along, Stan wrote, I'm also interested in a reading consultation from Conjurman, but hadn't gotten any replies. Well, here you go. He's your man right now. So take it away, Ali.
Thanks, Kat. Stan, you say you're interested in getting a reading. I think I have an email just today or yesterday from a Stan interested in a love reading. Is that correct? Is that you?
It wasn't a love reading. I think it was more a geomantic reading.
Oh, yes, geometric reading. That's why I call it life readings, but they're geometric readings. Well, wonderful. We'll get to
sorry,
that.
I thought you said love. Sorry. Yeah,
life readings. I'll get to that once privately, because a geometric reading is something I cannot do on the air, because it requires me to generate a certain type of chart that I just can't do right off the bat.
I'm
working with a pen. So I've pulled three cards here. I'm going to go over those cards. And they really kind of touch on what Miss Cat gestured towards already regarding your sign. The first card that I have here is the Moon card. The Moon card is a card of distance, of something not being right and not clicking. We have this lunar figure, female more often than not, looking down at two animals, two canines of sort, that are howling up. She's unaffected, unmoved by their howling. And there's a small little crawdaddy, a crawfish, that is climbing out and trying to walk a winding road between two pillars. This is an issue. There is something going on in your life that is creating a sort of sterility when it comes to love and emotions and love and being able to find someone that really clicks with you and opens you up. It is a barrenness of sort. The Moon is barren. This tells me that the fact that you're getting a love reading is a good thing. A life reading is a good thing. It'll help us to peer a little bit more closely in the situation and see what's going wrong. An astrological reading is something that is usually recommended when I see this card. There may be something going on astrologically in your chart, but again, this can be determined later. This is also something that is not unusual for Virgos. Virgos need someone to open them up, right? Someone has to come in and open them up. Finding love is not, it's not that it's difficult for Virgos, but they're not exactly like a Leo. A Leo walks into a room, likes the person, and goes, okay, I'm going to go after that person. And Aries is the same way. They have this kind of way of going after what they want. Virgos are very passive in that sense. They often wait for love to find them or find the right person, or they're unable to click with the people that they're interested in. So they'll find people that they're interested in, but it just doesn't go anywhere. There's a sort of futility in that regard. And that can be a very serious problem for Virgos. A lot of the Virgos that I know tend to be single for a long period of time before they find the right person. The next card that I have here is the Seven of Wands, and I see someone standing on a hill with a staff, fighting off attackers. It means there's a block there. There's something that is not connecting, right? Like with the Moon card, there's a hesitation, a guardedness there. In order for you to really find love, in order for things to really open up, to find that magic in your life, because love and magic are not always separate things, you need to bring down that guard. Whatever hurts, experiences, or difficulties you've faced in the past has hardened you and put you on guard. You need to remove that. You need to be able to move away from it. And the final card that I have is the Nine of Wands, a person who is wounded, exhausted, and tired, and they're leaning on a staff with a bandage on their head, looking wearily over their shoulder at the approaching enemies or the wall that they've just broken through. I don't see an immediate resolution to your situation. I can't tell you that I see 2016 as the year of love for you. I don't see that. Instead, I see that it's going to be a year of really learning to deal with the internal problems, the kind of spiritual blockages and emotional blockages that are keeping you from finding the spark, the happiness, the love that you're so speaking. You are still going to have to do a lot of work, and it's going to be moving away from that position of guardedness, trying to find more fertile ground, so to speak, and then it's going to be a process of healing and being able to let go. Excuse me. The Nine of Wands is about letting go. It's about knowing that, you know, you had a tough time, but the past is the past, and you've broken free. So this is an ongoing process for you. These aren't cards that tell me I see immediate love in your future. Instead, I see a lot of work needs to be done. That's what I see here. I'm going to turn this over to, I believe, Ms. Aida, who will do our next reading. And then Kat can give you some suggestions on what you can do.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello? Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I've got that your childhood, there's been some big issues regarding your father. A lot of struggles, a lot of juggling around, a lot of emotional turmoil regarding a father figure. It may not be your biological father, but it's a father figure. And I'm seeing that this is where a lot of obstacles are coming, that, you know, every time there was happiness, something came along, you know, and caused problems, and you just couldn't seem to smooth things out as hard as you tried, and everything keeps, you know, going back to the childhood. And then I see an angry woman, and I see that this is a mother figure. Okay. And I have to be, you know, tell you, I'm getting a lot of the same thing that Conjure Man Ali is saying, that you're not letting go of past traumatic experiences, and you've just got to, because until you face these problems, whatever these problems were, you're going to be holding on to them and internalizing them for forever. You know, it might be even a good idea to, you know, to get some therapy to even talk this out and work this out, because it's your biggest issue. Okay. Now, on the good side, I am seeing someone in your past, or maybe not in your past, but in your ancestry. Okay, this person has passed on. Okay, there is a dead ancestor who wishes to help you. Now, through your life, things have happened, and, you know, you've been on the spot. You know, and then justice came towards you for some reason. Well, this reason is a male figure who, I don't know if you've met him. I get the feeling that you didn't, okay? And you need to look to him. You need to look to this person for help, because this person is very anxious to help you. And he's almost trying to be a spirit guide to you or a guardian angel. And he's saying that if you work with him, okay? He's viewing you also as his child, all righty? And he wants to give you strength. He's trying to help you to give you strength. And that's what I've got.
Wow. All righty. What a complex reading, and not at all what we were expecting. So just to sum up here, we're seeing that there are issues from the past. Now, I'm going to go into something because I do have a couple of extra minutes here, and I want to clarify something for myself before I do the root work. You mentioned also not being successful in magic. Was the magic used for any purpose? I noticed you spelled it with a capital M and a CK. Was it ceremonial magic, which is usually spelled that way, or what kind of magic were you trying to do?
So really it was just self-help, really calling guides, trying to work with ancestors, connect with ancestors. So
all right. The very thing, I understand now. So the very thing that Aida saw, you've been trying to do. So Aida was absolutely spot on. There is an ancestor trying to get through, but the two of you haven't yet connected. And that is amazing. Good job, Aida. That was amazing, Miss Aida. So what we have here is you may need a helper. And I can give you some root work to do for yourself. But Aida has absolutely called it, as did Conjure Manali, when he said there's a kind of barrenness or sterility here. Something needs to be opened up, and you might need a worker to help you. That doesn't mean I want to make you dependent on a worker, that only a worker will be able to help you. But right now we're seeing a condition that needs to be addressed. Now, I don't know what your religion is, and I don't want to get into religion, so I'm not telling you to join a religion you don't already have. I want to make that really clear, because when people come to me and I say, you might need a helper, they immediately think, oh, that means I've got to go join a Zen Buddhist monastery, or I've got to go join a voodoo group, or I've got to go join a Wicca coven. No, I'm not talking about that. But your background may have ancestors of certain religions. So my first job for you, and this is a job, I want you to get your DNA tested if you have not had it done. Have you ever had your DNA tested?
No, but I do know where my ancestry is from. It is Nigeria.
Where?
Where's it? Southeastern Nigeria.
Eastern Nigeria, all right. And this is on all both sides of your family, right?
Yeah, both sides.
Okay. I'd still like you to get a DNA test. It may all be from southeastern Nigeria, but it may also be, there may be somebody else in there too. If that is what you're, the reason I ask people to get their DNA tested is you will find people in the world who will match your DNA. These will not necessarily be close known relatives. They might be second, third, fourth cousins, people that you've never heard of before. I found, for instance, in getting my DNA tested, that two people that I met through Facebook, they just wanted to friend me, they didn't know why, we were DNA matches. Real surprises have come out of this. So get your DNA tested. That's my first piece of root work advice to you. And then the next thing is to connect with those ancestors. And if they are Nigerian ancestors, you could go through that to two different routes. Of course, a lot of people will go through the route of, the African diasporic, and it will be, you know, a Cuban like Santeria or Lukumi. Some people will actually go to Africa and receive some counseling there. I think that this is going to be very, very important for you to connect to this ancestor. Now, having said all of that, I'm going to give you some ideas for how to open yourself for these things and open yourself for love. If there are any, now we're talking about known ancestors, if there are any ancestors that you know of who had happy marriages and who have passed on, I'd like you to get their graveyard dirt if possible, especially if they were buried together, and put a little bit of that combined graveyard dirt just in a little covered bowl or dish in your altar and say, you know, Grandma and Grandpa, as you were happily married, please bring me a partner who to whom I can be happily mated. I've had people to tell me, and this does not relate to you, but I'm going to mention it because so many people listen to this show. But my grandma and grandpa were heterosexual, and I'm a lesbian, and they wouldn't have approved. Don't worry about it. They will approve. Don't worry about it. They want happiness for their grandchild. So don't worry about whatever political views they held while alive. Spirits do elevate and progress. And what you want is the graveyard dirt of a happily married couple. If there's no one in your family who is happily married, find a couple that was happily married and get their graveyard dirt. You can sometimes go to a graveyard and just find it. Once you have the graveyard dirt of a happily married couple, I'd like you to put up some offerings to that and ask for them to really take you on as a grandchild if they aren't really your ancestors. If they are, then they are. And say, guide my footsteps that I may be led toward love. And again, you can use Althea leaf, I've mentioned this before, or Althea root, and mix that in with it and put a little bit in your shoes. And you're going to ask for being led to the place where you will meet love, the right love, and that they will tell you when the right love is there. And that's a very simple kind of work you can do, but you will need also a guide. And as far as the magic goes, I think you will need a teacher, a mentor, or a guide of some sort, okay?
Okay.
Someone who is going to actually work with you. All right. Now, let me ask Aida, do you have anything to add?
Well, you know, he's of Nigerian descent. And I'd like to ask, do you know if they practice the Yoruba religion?
It's not
your family.
Not Yoruba, it's Igbo.
Okay, so you did not practice the Yoruba religion. Okay.
No, he named a different, what was
he
the name?
He said Igbo.
Igbo, they're Igbo.
I can't hear him.
Yeah,
Igbo, it's I-B-O. The Igbo people, now if I'm correct, aren't they more of a Congo tribe that is in Nigeria?
No, sorry, it's I-G-B-O.
I-G-O, Igbo, okay.
Igbo, okay, all righty.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, I would just certainly, you know, go with the ancestor altar, as Miss Kat has suggested, okay, and I would call upon all my ancestors who are trying to help me. And, you know, I'm particularly interested in this one man who really wants to help you. And I think you really need to reach out. And he's telling me for you to address him as grandfather. Okay, I'm not saying that he is your grandfather, but he wants to be addressed as grandfather, my grandfather. Okay, that's how you will call upon him. And that's another one that I want you, that's the one that I'm seeing in my reading, okay? That's
right,
the one that I want you to call on.
Yeah, we got to go now. So thank you very much for calling in, and we will try to read for you again if you call in at another time. All right, take it away, Papa Newt.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Kanjaman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Candela's Corner, starring Candela Kambisa, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kyra Mon, Wednesdays 5 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
And now it's time for our freestyle segment with Miss Aida of MissAida.com in Detroit, Michigan. Take it away, Miss Aida.
Okay, thank you, Papa Newt. I have got a spell here for people who are caregivers at home or in a home, okay? And these are the things that I need you to have. 5 votive cups, buffalo ammonia, Florida water, camphor, a Bible open to Psalm 121, a pair of open scissors, fiery wall of protection oil, protection amulets, Tibetan ghost purging incense, a censor, you know, the thing that burns the thing that holds the incense to burn. And I'd like you to look at the numerous, numerous protection spells that Miss Kat wrote on this page, www.luckymojo.com/protection spells, with a plural S, .html. So it's protection spells.html. And you can use any of those protection spells, any or all. Okay. Now, many times patients are on oxygen, so we have to be careful what we use in the room. And we also must be careful of odors. So this is why we use small votive cups. So to protect the patient and to reduce the amount of negativity in the room and deter those spirits, I put 1 votive cup filled with ammonia in each corner of the room. So you got 4 corners, you got 4 cups. 1 votive cup will be filled with a camphor square and Florida water, and that will go under the bed. If it's not your family, it's someone else's family, of course you're going to ask permission. Open the Bible to Psalm 121. Place open scissors. I like them facing up. Miss Kat, I don't know. I'm not sure if you said down or up, but I like up. Over
up,
the Psalm.
I'm all for and, up. Yeah.
Oh, you're up too. Okay, we're all up then. Okay. Place the open scissors facing up over the Psalms and also place this under the bed. And for the patient also, try playing music that is comforting to both the patient and yourself. Do not play music which is offensive to either you or the client. You got to be on the same wavelength, okay? And the one thing we didn't talk about is fresh air and sunshine. Dark, gloomy rooms accumulate negativity. Now, for the caregiver, yourself, because remember, you become a target. Okay, I would anoint yourself with fiery wall of protection oil, wear protection amulets, and again, on the page that I gave you, luckymojo.com, protectionspells.html, there are a lot of protection amulets there for you to choose from. If you're in a house and not in a hospital room, you can burn the Tibetan ghost purging incense around the house, walk in a clockwise circle when burning it, and be careful not to get the smoke around the patient if the patient is extremely ill, sensitive to smoke, or the patient is on oxygen. But at least, you know, the negativity is not getting into the rest of the house. Okay? Try any of the spells on the pages that I gave you. Please try to ignore all insults and demands. In fact, when insulted, laugh. I mean, laugh with the client. Laugh at yourself. You know, I have a tooth that is very, very crooked, and a lot of patients will attack that when they're really, really in their worst, and I always make fun of it, you know, and I laugh with them. And the reason, and I know it's easier said than done, but we wear out these bad spirits with positive responses and happiness and cheerfulness. We wear them right out. And that's what I've got.
What a fantastic program. I mean, this is so well thought out. Thank you. Thank you, Aida. I'm going to make a couple of comments, as I always do. The Tibetan ghost purging incense is a loose powder incense, and it is particularly said among the Tibetan Vajrayana Buddhists who make it to remove negative dead spirits. In other words, the unhappy dead are sent away by this particular incense. That's why it's called Tibetan ghost purging incense. It doesn't mean that all ghosts are bad in Tibetan Buddhism, but these are the ghosts that died unhappy and that are dragging people down. The La Llorona type spirits, the sad ghosts. So that is what that incense is for. And you do not need to put that on the patient, but you should at least, like she said, walk the house around the house with that. Perfect stuff if there's a sick person in the home. Thank you so much. Ali, do you have anything to add to this?
All I have to say is the laughing part is particularly important. It's not an idle recommendation, and Miss Aida knows her stuff. Spirits who are parasitic, spirits who are drawn to this sort of thing, find laughter and anathema to them. So laughter is very important. Not only does it uplift things, but it takes away the power of those spirits. If you're laughing and you don't get drawn in, they can't link to you. So laughing is very good. It drives them out, something you can, you know, I fully recommend. And it's important in a situation like this. Keep your spirits up and ensure that the spirits themselves don't get attached to you.
All right. Well, thank you very much. We do have a comment from the chat room. I'd like to quickly comment. This is Galaxy 2163. Can someone tell me how private readings work? Do you call to schedule? Do you just pay and call whenever? No, we have several different ways of booking. Some people you pre-book, and some people go on Hoodoo Psychics and can be booked directly by the minute at Hoodoo Psychics. Hoodoo Psychics is a private organization. The other people would be listed at AIR. Not everybody at AIR is in Hoodoo Psychics. Not everyone in Hoodoo Psychics is in AIR. Go to readersandrootworkers.org. Look for the names of the people in the left-hand column. Pick the person under their photo. It will say, book a reading with Miss Aida. Read that, click that, it'll take you to a booking page and tell you how that particular person wants to be booked. Hope that helps. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Countryman Ali. And thank you, Miss Aida of MissAida.com and Detroit, Michigan, for being our guest this week. We do invite you to join us next week when we'll have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, who will be Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com in Chicago, Illinois. Once again, we've come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat online via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Countryman Ali at countrymanali.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Columbus, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here, and we invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. Thank you, Miss Aida, for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
Beautiful cell work, as always. We just love your work. Thank you, Countryman Ali.
Always a pleasure.
You're such a great guy. Thank you for some great readings and some great root work advice. All right. Well, my only other thing I have to say is remember May 14th and 15th, 2016, the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. That will be in Forestville, California. You can go to hoodooheritagefestival.com and read all about it. Tickets are on sale now. We look forward to having about 100 to 125 people. That's about how many usually come out. Lots of free gifts, lots of good food, lots of good. So I hope to see as many of you as I can there. And we're going to have a special wedding party for Ms. Robin. She's going to be married. Cat out of the bag. Robin, now everybody knows. All right, good night, all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.